Please turn in your hymnals to our opening hymn, page 392. Please stand as we sing together, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord."
Would you join me in the call to worship? Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to the likeness, and let them have our dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." As those who bear the likeness and blessing of God, as mortals charged with holy purpose, let us worship the one who summons us to life. And now if you turn to page 881 for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnal to page 393 as we sing together, "Spirit of the Living God."
Melt me more.
seated.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Holy God, like children long indulged, we are quick to presume your pardon, your sanction of the new we live. We turn away from your neighbors we need, sharing fragments that remain only after our cravings are met. Merciful Maker, you created us for better use. Remake us now, where we are distorted, recenter and reshape us. Bring us low and raise us up. Then fire in our hearts until we shine with your glory and find our place in your purpose. Would you please take a few moments to reflect on the prayer we just recited? If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Sisters and brothers, in the name of Christ, I declare that your story is known, your sin is forgiven, your life is made new. Let us live as those reborn.
Please join me in a prayer. Lord, I would like to take this time to help Alex cope with the things that he's going through with his family and to have him reach out to any one of us when he needs so. And thank you for all your gifts. Amen.
Jesus commands my destiny. No power.
power of hell, no scheme nor plan can ever pluck me from this hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. No power of hell, no scheme or plan can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Blessings fall.
Well, good morning. So I did this children's sermon quite a few years ago, but I'm pretty sure you two were not here when I did it. So I thought I'd do it again because it's one of my favorite because it involves puppies. Okay. Gotta love puppies. So this is actually a true story, and it involved a lady who was a comedian years ago. And it dealt with when she was growing up, they had a family dog. And one day, this family dog, while the dad was mowing the lawn, got too close to the lawnmower. And sadly, the dog got injured. Injured so bad that the dog no longer walked the same way it used to, that it would drag itself with its front legs and drag the bottom, their back legs, behind her. Now, the amazing part of the story is that she was expecting puppies. And when it came time, those puppies were born, and they were born perfectly normal. So that was great. But you know the thing about puppies when they're born, right? They have their eyes are closed for a very long time. So while they're doing that time, they're still walking and doing their thing. But when they began to open their eyes and they began to watch their mommy very closely on everything she was doing, even though they knew how to walk, they watched their mom so closely, they began to change how they walk. They began to drag their legs behind them and pull with their front ones just like their mommy did. Now, how does that reflect to us as Christians? Thank you for asking. How it deals with us is we already know how to walk, don't we? But when you accept Christ in your life, you're supposed to change the way you walk to reflect Jesus. So you need to be watching Jesus so closely that you change the way you walk. So we'll do a little prayer, and then I have a little gift for you. And when I saw these, I thought these were perfect because they're little puppy dogs with big, huge eyes on them. So that way, when you're eating them and when you see puppies, that when you see those big eyes, that reminds you to remember who we should be looking at and who we should be walking like. All right, so let's do our prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for sending him to us. Just help us, Lord, to sit and look at you so closely that no matter how we walk now, that we look at you so with straight eyes and straight hearts that we change the way we walk to reflect you. In all these things, we give you the glory. Amen.
Okay, everybody. God bless you. You can go home. You can start.
right. Thank you all for coming. God bless you all. Thank for those that are watching us on Facebook. We really appreciate it. Let us hear from you once in a while. We'll love to answer. And of course, you could always send prayers requests, and we'll be praying for you. Welcome also. Today, I'm going to be reading. Before I do that, we're going to do prayers and concerns. Prayers for ministering angels and guardian angels to surround Lydia's car as she travels 8 hours back to school today. Pray for her to be focused and successful in her classes. We pray for safety and for her to know that our love goes with her wherever she goes. Deb is requesting prayers for Diane, her daughter. She's scheduled for surgery on September the 16th in Albuquerque at the UM Hospital. And Lance and Leorla are requesting prayers for Wyatt and his girlfriend, Stephanie. They're traveling from Washington on Friday. Prayers for travel mercies. Wyatt has accepted a full-time job at a church camp in Lake Stevens, Washington. Isn't that hard? Well, you know, there's nothing harder than when we have to turn over our children to God and say, Lord, we cannot prevent or we cannot make anything happen, but we're going to trust you for the outcome. And this is where we find ourselves today with these prayers, with our children's. And we also lift up Ed, and we give thanks for Anne. She is here today, and she's getting better all the time. For all those that have been sick, and we have been keeping them in prayer, for all those, Father, we give you thanks. We pray, my Heavenly Father, that you will accompany each one of them, Lord, that your presence will be felt in their life. We pray, my Heavenly Father, that your mercy will be their guide, my Heavenly Father, and your grace will be their compass. We pray, my Heavenly Father, for healing. We pray, Father, for your perfect will to be done. We thank you, Father, for the gift of time, Lord. We pray for doctors, my Heavenly Father. We pray for nurses, for medication, for equipment. We pray, Lord, that everyone that is involved in taking care of your people, my Heavenly Father, will do so, Lord, putting you first, my Heavenly Father, that your hand of mercy will be guiding them, my Heavenly Father, and your spirit, Lord, will surround them in all they will be doing and surrounding all those, my Heavenly Father, that are in need of you today and every day. It is with trust, my Heavenly Father, that we all pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will you go with me to prayer of illumination? Holy and merciful God, we have come to hear your word. Help us to bear it. Break down in us all that resists your will and plant in us a willingness to turn. By your spirit, come to us now in ancient text, in everyday visions, in the need of our neighbor, we pray in the name of Jesus, our light. Amen. Our word today comes from Jeremiah 18, 1 through 12. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation, I warn, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good that I had intended to do for it. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it is no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I imagine that some, if not most of us, and myself included, when we read the word evil, we think of what has happened in El Paso and in Midland recently, the killing of children while they are in school, people in the movie theaters, and of course, we all remember 9/11. Certainly, all of that is evil. But the meaning of evil, according to the Bible, is an action, thought, or an attitude that is contrary to the character or the will of God. Have you ever thought of evil like that? As an action, a thought, an attitude that is contrary to the character of God, not to our character, the character of God. This is shown through the Bible. There is no moral action given in the Bible that is contrary to God's character or God's will. God doesn't mean one thing for this side and then another one for this side. God will not excuse something here and say it's okay here. God is God from the beginning to the end. And God's character does not change. Evil can definitely cover that which is morally wrong, sinful, or wicked. However, the word evil can also refer to anything that causes harm, with or without the moral measurement of it. Anything that contradicts the holy nature of God is evil. Psalms 51 and 4 puts it this way. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you're right in your verdict and justified when you judge me. When do we do evil in God's sight? Evil is such a strong word that I would never say, well, how did you spend the day yesterday? I was just doing evil. That's not going to come out of my mouth. But I certainly would say, oh, I was just going out and about. You know, I was here and there, and I was doing that, this and that. But certainly, we wouldn't call anything we do evil. So when do we do evil in God's sight? When we gossip? When we judge others? When we think more of ourselves than we do of others. When we pretend we don't know what's going on, so we don't have to act on it. Meaning we look the other way. We do evil when we don't do what we can do for those that cannot do for themselves. On the other side, any disaster, tragedy, or calamity, it's also called evil. Evil behavior includes sin committed against other people, murder, theft, adultery, and evil committed against God is unbelief, idolatry, blasphemy, disobedience. From the disobedience in the Garden of Eden, which you will find in Genesis 2:9, to the wickedness of Babylon the Great, all the way down to Revelation 18:2, the Bible speaks of the fact of evil. And man is held responsible for the evil we commit. No, we did not send Dorian to the Bahamas. We did not do that. But what are we going to do now that we know that people are hurting? So we don't have our hand in that type of evil. But if we remember that evil is not doing something for others when others can't, how does that touch us? The one who sins is the one who dies. The son shall not be punished for the father's sins, nor the father for his sons. The righteous person will be rewarded for his own goodness, and the wicked person for his wickedness. Ezekiel 18:20. It couldn't be more clear. As much as we love our children, we're not responsible for their actions, especially after they go out on their own. So we're not going to be judged by God by what they do. God is not going to say, you know, when Tommy was 2, you should have spanked his hand when he took that handkerchief from that lady's purse. That's not going to come into the equation. We are not going to be called to blame for what they do, but we are going to be called to account for what we do and what we don't do. Moral evil is not a physical thing. Evil is a lack of goodness. It is goodness spoiled. You can have goodness without evil, but you cannot have evil without goodness. Human freedom is being used in such a way as to diminish goodness in the world. And that reduction, that lack of goodness, is what we call evil. I myself, after I wrote this, I said, oh, you know, this is kind of like, okay, too deep even for me. You can have good without evil, but you cannot have evil without good. So when I was searching, what does this mean? This is kind of like, you know, Sunday words. I'm not here. You know, that I can't get it. I cannot get it. But it was written. It was there. So when I pray about it, what it gave me, the understanding that I got from that, was our own free will. We decide. We decide what we're going to do. We decide the good, and we decide the bad. God is love. 1 John 4:8 says, the absence of love in a person is ungodlike, and therefore it is evil. And an absence of love manifests itself in unloving behavior. The same can be said concerning God's mercy, justice, and patience. The lack of these godly qualities in anyone constitutes evil. That evil then manifests itself in behavior that is unmerciful, unjust, impatient, manipulative, and vengeful. But Jesus said this, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one, Romans 3:10. Remember what I have always told you. We are not perfect. And in this earth, we're not going to be. But we are to strive for Jesus' perfection in us. Moral evil is wrong down to others. And it can exist even when unaccompanied by outward actions. Murder is an evil action, but it has its start with the moral evil of hatred in the heart, Matthew 5:21 and 22. Committing adultery is evil, But so is the moral evil of lust in the heart. That's Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Jesus said, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lawlessness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside, and it defiles the person. I didn't say that. Mark 7:20-23 says that. It gives us a lot of room for thought. Those who fall into evil behavior usually start slowly. Paul shows the tragic progression into more and more evil in Romans 1. It says, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful evil men who push away the truth from them. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. Since earliest time, men have seen the earth and the sky and all that God has made, and have known of his existence and great eternal power. So they will have no excuse when they stand before God at judgment day. Yes, they knew about him all right, but they wouldn't admit it or worship him or even thank him for all his daily care. And after a while, they began to think up silly ideas of what God was like and what he wanted them to do. The result was that their foolish mind became dark and confused. Claiming themselves to be wise without God, they become utter fools instead. And then instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they made idols for themselves. So God let them go ahead into every sort of sin and do whatever they wanted to do. Yes, it starts with a little. It all starts with refusing to glorify God or give thanks to him. And it ends with God giving them over to a depraved mind and allowing them to be filled with every kind of wickedness. Lying. I know of no person, and I'm at the head of the line, that lies. If you come to me and you say, how's my hairdo? You know, I'm really going to have to think hard and say, I love the color. Love the color. You know, but my inclination will be to answer, it looks beautiful. You look great. But that's a little lie. You know, it's a brave person, the one that comes to you and asks you, how's my hairdo? You know, you don't hear me saying that. It starts with the little. But isn't the little so hard for us not to do? So the little becomes honestly, honest in us, the honest in us. All of a sudden, the little and the little and the little has become this big thing. And then people don't believe your words because they say, well, you know, they changed their mind. They're really not honest. They didn't mean it. So people start seeing this in you. It does start with the little. And the little is very hard to control. Physical evil is the trouble that befalls people in the world, and it may or may not be linked to moral evil or even divine judgment. I didn't say that either. Ecclesiastes 11:2 counsels us to divide your gifts among many, for in the days ahead, this is what it says, you yourself may need much help. In other words, treat others as you would like to be treated. plant so that you can harvest. Do good when you can. And if you can't at the moment, it's okay. But if you can, do something. Sometimes physical evil is simply the result of an accident or causes unknown, with no known moral cause. Examples will include injuries, car wrecks, hurricanes, and earthquakes. Other times, physical evil is God's getting your individual attention. How does God get your undivided attention? I know how he gets my undivided attention. By letting me have the consequences of my choices. That's how he gets my undivided attention. God controls everything in our lives. And sometimes, like our children push us when they say, Mom, 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 or the, well, why not? Why not? Why not? We do the same thing. There comes a moment in which the Lord says, okay, I have tried to take you in this direction, but you continue to crawl on the other direction. I will let you have the result of your choices. Then all of a sudden we say, how can this evil have fallen on me? Well, we run after it. That's how it happened. Did we know that it was evil? Not in the word evil, because again, we don't think of ourselves as being evil. But disobedience is evil. So were we being obedient? It's kind of like it's a winding road, you know. It's not exactly all that it looks to be. But the answer is there. Sodom and the surrounding cities were destroyed for their sins. Genesis 19. And God made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. 2 Peter 26. Many times God warned Israel of the calamities that awaited them if they rebel. The Lord, in his wisdom, he will send great evil on his people and will not change his mind. He will rise against them for the evil they have done and crush their allies too. This applies to us today. Do not doubt. God is watching us. He can see us through the pines. He can see us through the window. He can see us when we're sitting inside. He can see us when we are outside. And definitely, he's traveling with us in our car. Because we're called Christians, we don't get a get-out-of-jail-free card. It does not mean absolution. Don't confuse forgiveness with absolution. God means to teach us one way or another. God warns us so many times in so many ways with so many stories in the Bible about don't follow your own way. Look what happened with these people. Look how they fell. Look what I had to do to them in order to teach them a lesson. History says that the Israelites, the Hebrews that left Egypt, could have been over a million, maybe two. But only two of them saw the promised land. That gives me food for thought. So when God says, don't do evil, I am not going out and doing evil on purpose, even though that I make a lot of mistakes. But am I disobedient? Am I gossiping? Am I stretching the truth? Am I over-explaining something that I do not know? How is it that that warning applies to us? don't look at evil as the shootings and 911. It is evil, but don't look at it just like that. Bring it closer down to our own lives. What do we do that goes against the character of God? Do not doubt, God is watching us. Because we are called Christians, we are held to a higher standard. If not, get into an argument with somebody and the first thing they're gonna say is, shh, and she calls herself a Christian. That's the first thing they're gonna say, as if it should be, like a horn in our head or something. But yes, we are called to a higher standard. And while we cannot meet all those godly standards, let's meet the ones we can. Let's strive to meet all the ones that God continually warns us. Go in this direction. Don't do evil. Don't go into the other side. There's one thing that I got to tell you that is very important. As I have told you all this about evil, I don't want you to walk out of here without having heard this from me, but I'm actually reading it. I did not invent it. Having said this, I reflect in the Jesus that I know, the God that I call Father. And we all must take hope in this word, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Whatever we do that is not within the character of God, whether we choose to call it a mistake, we choose to call it evil in God's sight, in repentance and faith in Christ, we have forgiveness of sin and a reversal of the moral evil within us. Acts 3:19. It's a guarantee that if you even call the things that you don't want to admit that you do wrong, if you call it by its name, you have a guarantee on Acts 3:19. The forgiveness of God. As God's children, we walk according to his command. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. I have 6 short things to give you to take home with you today. First one. Evil is real. That is to say, we distort the Bible and do ourselves a profound disservice by minimizing the existence of evil and suffering. God invites us to acknowledge our pain. The psalmist wrote, Psalms 116 and 10, in my discouragement, I thought, they're lying when they say I will recover. Evil is real. Evil hurts. Evil means to destroy me. That was David a few thousand years ago. It applies to me today when people tell me this too shall pass. And I said it's about 3 hours past the time. It's like a expectant mother, you know, at 40 weeks and just looking at 41. Well, when is this going to happen? You know, so when we're in the midst of the trouble and the despair and the chaotic things, we want it to pass. But it's real. And the best thing to do is just come to God and lay it at his feet. The second thing is God is good, and God is good. Amen. Whatever we say about God's sovereignty over evil, we must never imply that God is corrupt, that he somehow nurses a dark side. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. James 1:13. Yeah. He's not setting traps for you. We kind of walk into them on our own. 3, God ordains all things that come to pass, including evil. God does whatever he pleases, Psalms 135 and 6. To be sure, this means he clothes the lilies and feeds the birds. But he also makes lightning. He strikes down firstborn children and kills mighty kings. Psalms 135 and 8, our God holds authority over the good and the bad and the ugly. And the psalm says, I form light and create darkness, he says. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. He's telling you who he is. Isaiah 45, 7. You can't be mistaken. It is not, you're not listening to it from the preacher. The preacher is reading what God has said. 4, man is responsible for his actions. Let us not fall into resignation. Let us not say, well, this is the way I am, this is the way God made me. We should remember that God's sovereignty never excuses wrongdoing. When a man commits murder, the blood is on his hand. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Luke 22:22. We are the owners of our choices. Nobody else. I don't own my children's choices. I don't own your choices. I own mine. And you own yours. 5, God did not spare his own son. The cross speaks to our theology of suffering in at least 2 ways. The first, it shows us that God can will something to happen that he opposes. Proverbs 6:16-17. It tells us that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. And yet he sent his son to suffer precisely that fate. Is this a mystery? Yes, it definitely is. But it's not nonsense, and it's not really to where we cannot get a little glimpse of why he did it. We can look at evil and with no contradictory say this is wrong, and God has willed that it takes place. Listen to how Peter describes the crucifixion. He says, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Acts 2:23. God definitely, we all know, he sent Jesus to die for the forgiveness of our sins. And we are grateful and we should be grateful. How many people have I sent and put on the cross myself when I wasn't as kind as I could have been, when I didn't give them as much of my time as they needed, when I wasn't thoughtful, when I used the wrong words? How many times have I sent someone to the cross myself? The cross demonstrates that God regards our afflictions not as something strange to the palate, but as a cup he has drunk to the very end and for us. By giving up his own son, God entered into our pain. He knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to suffer the lost. But he also did more. By putting his son to grief, God turned grief on its head. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are all healed. Isaiah 53:5. This brings us to the final point. Heaven works backwards. Sometimes we say nothing in the distant future can make up for what I'm going through right now. I could go back to when I was 11, when I was in the refugee camp, the things that happened to me, the things that happened to me after the camp, and I can tell you that in the flesh, I can go back and say nothing can make up for those times, for those years, for the emptiness. Even today, I can think nothing can make up for the hole in my heart. But heaven works backwards. Once attain God's grace will even out all the agony that we have gone through in the past, and that even the ones we have to go through in the future. Because at the end of our lives are not in vain, and God comes in and says, I will erase from you all that you have suffered, and I will give you unending glory, unending glory, unending peace, only in heaven. That's the scale of our lives. If we look at it in the flesh, it goes like, you know, so heavy. Our days here are so heavy. And looking at what heaven is going to be, it's difficult. And we say, can I have a little bit of water down here? But one day, it will be the opposite. One day, what we have in heaven would be everything we needed. And it will erase everything that we have gone through. As Christians, have hope in the promise that gives all of our suffering purpose. That's what we need to hold on to. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Have hope in the life that is to come. And I know that it's not easy not to get bogged down with the life that we have now. But raise your eyes up. Look at any evil in all of our lives, in your lives. Call it whatever you want to call it. But rectify all you can now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, even though we walk through the darkest valley, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Jesus, you are the hiding place. You will protect us from trouble and surround us with songs of deliverance. The Lord is near to all those who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him and I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. This is the word of God, showered over each one of you today. God bless you. Amen.
Please stand as we sing together our closing hymn, Sanctuary.
Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy.
Amen. I hope that this hymn stays in your mind all week long. Receive this blessing now from the Lord. May the artist who crafted you continue to shape your heart. May the Christ who commissioned you charge you with purpose. May the Spirit that stirs you help you to carry the cross, that you may honor your Creator and bless the world. Go in peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Travel mercies to you, Mary, to all of you guys. Because he put you to work, and can you rest over there? Do you need a note from me so that he doesn't put you to work? God bless you. Thank you for coming. How are you? Thank you for coming. God bless you.
God bless you.
Tell me if you need it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad you're back.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be back. When I got her married, oh, my goodness.
Okay. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Yes. God bless you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
This is our last Sunday, so you were gone.
Let's go. Yes.
This was a short time for us.
Travel mercies. Yes. Great. Great. It's always great to see you. Thank you. God bless you.